7 months of combat in Afghanistan will do strange things to a guy's sense of humor. Besides, all explosions considered, it was a good day to die. Despite the bitter winters of the Afghan mountains, the sun had warmed the air to a cool 50 degrees. Not having enough time to pull on pants or a cold weather jacket, I wore a dirty brown shirt, body armor, and black shorts skimpy enough to make your sister blush. The base had suffered a heavy barrage of attacks the past few weeks, with the Ramadan offensive unfolding over much of November 2003. There's nothing worse than the pot-bellied stove you use for warmth exploding because an enemy force blew it to smithereens, the remnants of your heating device embedded either in the walls or your friends. Dead friends and shattered heaters won't keep you warm. Apparently, neither will catch-me-fuck-me shorts and a stained t-shirt. Once I neared the base's tactical operations center, TOC, I burst through the door alongside my team chief, Paul Gonzo Gonzalez. Inside, frantic chatter and yelling punctuated the air. Having recently shaved his beard, Gonzo's grimace was even more accentuated than usual. He was not a man to be trifled with, despite his relative youth. Soldiers cleared his warpath while they chattered away on radios directing troop movement. Not that any of it mattered. The men attacking the base were hidden in the mountains, well concealed and with escape plans that made them impossible to find. The room continued in a tizzy while I stood still trying to shake the memory of the Afghan boy with a hole in his chest. I'd seen worse. Men with their faces caved in, guts spilling out like worms onto the seat of a blue Toyota Hilux. But a hurt child always tore the soul, no matter how minor the injury. As I awaited orders, I tried to distract myself by checking my magazine, ensuring the cartridges were still there. They were, but I loaded a new magazine anyway. More often than not, weapon malfunctions come from magazine cartridges that have ammunition in them for too long. The spring relaxes and isn't as forceful, so the bullets won't enter the chamber. If it was indeed a good day to die, as the man atop the barrier proclaimed, better to go down firing than fiddling with a jammed weapon. No parents want to hear that the enemy killed their son as he tinkered with his rifle. Let us go down in a blaze of glory, Rambo style, as bullets riddle our bodies. The way everyone imagines it is like a scene from a movie. We bleed out of the corner of our mouths while saying something profound, and then our eyes go dim. It never happens that way, though. Once you're dead, the body evacuates your bowels. Here lies Benjamin Sledge, empty magazines and colon. Once Gonzo returned from a quick briefing, I examined his face to get a read on the situation. His countenance had a severe edge to it, an expression he tended to wear when something irked him. "I'll stay here and communicate with the team in Kandahar," he told me. "You and the intel guys will round up the locals and get them to safety." I opened my mouth to ask for more information, but a loud, short whistle screamed over the talk with just enough time for someone to yell, "Incoming!" I flinched while Gonzo stood tall, unimpressed by the attack. He pointed to the door and gave me my orders. "You got this, Hollywood. Now move." Doors in Afghanistan are strange. In the United States, there's a standard everyone seems to follow. Doors are shaped like rectangles. In Afghanistan, they have options. Rectangle, hobbit-sized, or slim batwing doors. The TOC had the batwing doors, so every time you entered, it felt like you were walking into an old Western saloon. In theory, this is cool, but practically, the doors are so narrow that you have to wedge yourself through, and half the time, your rifle strap catches, choking or stalling your grand arrival as you fumble to break free. As I burst through the bat wings into the chill air, true to form, my strap caught. I tugged repeatedly, doing nothing to free myself, but adding to the frustration and fear ebbing through camp. The problem with war movies is they're sort of accurate. Everyone's yelling, and you're hyper-aware of your own breath. Nobody has a clue what he's doing, either. You make it up as you go, the muscle memory from training taking